The 1-1. High drive. Left center. Trout back. Looking up. See ya, number 50. Aaron Judge connects for his 50th home run of the year. And it's 4-3 Angels.
Hi, this is Emily Nyman, and you're listening to Breaking Balls. Welcome to episode 113 of Breaking Balls. I'm your host, Emily Nyman. I'm joined by my co-host, John Snyder. You can find us on Twitter, at BreakBallsPod. Or if you're feeling brassy, give the Breaking Balls hotline a call. 631-820-7377.
Yeah, let's wait till the Yankee game starts to start recording, she said. Little did I know that meant let's wait until the Mets are down by one in the late innings against the Dodgers to start recording. I'm not distracted or anything.
Well, I was like... I don't want to start this like, oh, the Mets are losing and have it come off like,
Yeah, so you let me say it.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what, John, you have to be the one. I mean, the Yankees are on right now. They're winning 2-0, but the game literally just started. So we might as well, we have the Mets on up on the big screen. This is a good game. This is a big game. I mean, I don't want to put too much weight into it. It's not that big.
It's bigger for the Mets than the Dodgers. The Mets are up by 3, I think, on the Braves, and the Dodgers are up by like in the teens. Their magic number is 15 right now, which is stupid.
That's insane. Yeah, I think they have 89 wins. Oh, McNeil just hit that one pretty good.
Oh, no, he's got it.
Wow, this cameraman should be arrested.
Not good enough.
The Yankees are winning 2-0. Benintendi hit a leadoff home run, and then Rizzo hit one to the fucking moon. Aaron Judge hit his 50th home run of the season last night. This man is just... There's not enough things I could possibly say about this guy. I mean, he's just insane. And it's only... August 30th, and he has 50 home runs.
Do you think he catches Maris?
Oh, man. You know, this is the thing with, like, home run races is that, like, it seems so close, right? Obviously, it's closer than most people get,
right.
Like, 11 to tie Maris.
Right, right.
But, like, 11 home runs in what's left of the season, maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah, 30-ish games.
Like, that's a lot of fucking home runs in a short period of time.
Well, and then the connected question... loosely connected, is does Albert Pujols reach 700? I think it's more likely that Judge catches Maris.
I think so, because I think that it's way more likely for Judge to hit, like, 2 home runs in a game.
I guess the real question is, like, how far does Pujols get, and then is it worth him coming back next year? Is it one or two, or is it, like, 5, and is, like, the Cardinals going to go through that? And
you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Pujols stalls here, or if I don't think he gets to 700 this year.
It would be a power surge for a part-time player, for
yeah.
sure.
And, like, it would stink to me of, like, are they just throwing this guy meatballs? Like, and I don't want to feel that way about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
that defeats the purpose
totally,
of it.
Totally, yeah. Well, I mean, same way, I mean, you as the ultimate A-Rod fan, you kind of have have that opinion.
Thank you.
Because he... To his credit, and I can't believe, you know what? I'm done saying I can't believe I'm giving A-Rod credit.
This is 2 weeks in a row.
Because I know, because DJ Bingington has enough sound samples of me saying those words already.
It's happening. This is the whole...
He's nodding.
This was a long con, by the way, me just to get John to be a fucking A-Rod fan.
Anyway, okay, let's... okay. Point being, A-Rod did have... Dignity is a strong word for A-Rod, but he walked away from the game rather than trying to chase the home runs... At a team's expense, most likely, you know.
I mean, and don't get me wrong, the Yankees made it pretty clear, like, they weren't really playing him as much as, in my opinion, they should have been for a team that had finished the year with 87 wins and
wink,
was
wink,
not...
nudge, nudge.
Yeah, oh my God, I was so mad in the summer of 2016. I don't know why I did that, I had to.
Now, DJ Pingington saying no, we can't get the rights to that. Okay.
But... I mean, and A-Rod was so close, 696 home runs, but yet so far, you know? And I feel like Pujols is that he had a nice little surge here, but, like, do we really think that he's going to surge for 6 more? That's, you know, like, 1 per week for the rest of the season.
You know what's incredibly likely is that he does hit 2 more over a month. I think that's realistic.
Yeah.
And he's at 696.
Oh, my God.
Then he has to ask himself the question, what does he do?
What would A-Rod do?
Ugh.
We're gonna, those bracelets are for sale on breakingballs.com. No, just kidding. We don't have a website or merch. One of these days we'll get some merch.
At least we have a podcast though, right?
Yeah. I mean, at least we're still putting this out. And listen, there's been a lot of different changes in my life. And, you know, we've been going through life stuff over here at Breaking Ball. So even just getting the podcast out has been difficult in that, man, like, it's hard to come up with things when you are preoccupied. You know what I mean? I know that sounds stupid, but, like, you don't realize that you're preoccupied until you're trying to sit in here and it's like, what's wrong with
me? I'm reading between the lines here. Emily's saying it's harder to record when the Yankees are not playing well. I get it. I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah, I'm like, I've been going through quote-unquote life stuff, a.k.a. the Yankees playing 400 ball for a month.
Episode 113, life stuff.
I mean, but for real, that does have a lot. That has more to do with it than I really want, than I really care to admit.
Well, it all started when I was 5. My father took me to the circus.
Holy shit. MLB TV is so annoying. So I have in a little screen here while we're recording the Yankees game. And like every few minutes, it'll all of a sudden then go back to the beginning and be like, event beginning shortly. And it's like,
oh, that's irritating.
Why do I have to keep on pressing live?
For a paid service. That's what's really annoying. Yeah,
I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. And the fact that like I even have to like use a VPN to watch this game on MLB TV is just insane.
Well, what's really inconvenient, I mean, plug ears, FBI, the fucking illegal streaming service that we were using doesn't work anymore. So now we're stuck with MLB TV shittiness. We were able to kind of like skirt by it. Like you watch the occasional game on MLB TV, it's not too bad. When it's your only source of games, it sucks.
It sucks. And like, shout out to, I forget who gave me the link to another place to get games. I don't remember the link, so I'm not even trying to be covert about it. I do not remember it off the top of my head. But it's not the same as the old one that we all use. Because the old one was just a straight-up MLB TV, where like you could rewind.
It was better than MLB TV somehow. Yeah. It was crazy.
It would be right timed up with like my big television set that was playing MLB TV. Oh, fuck, the Angels hit a home. 2-run home run. God damn it.
Tied up. What inning?
Tie game. I think this is probably the bottom of the second inning. Fuck.
Well, I'm glad we were able to get 10 minutes in. We look forward to episode 114. Maybe the Yankees will win a game that day.
I'm just like, this has been really painful, and I get it. Like, the Yankees are not the best team in the league, and that's fine. They don't have to be to win in the postseason.
Talk about it all the time. The whole point is getting to the postseason, and the Yankees are going to make the postseason at this rate.
But like, holy there's almost, shit.
Come on.
Yeah, like, I'm not concerned.
You'd have to be like the Mets in 2007 to not make the playoffs right now.
Which, I mean, obviously, as we saw, is possible. I don't think that's in the cards for this team. I don't think it's going to get to that point. But
I honestly
don't
either.
Wait. Oh, no. Holy shit. I just thought Max Stassi was Greg Bird because they just showed him in the dugout. And I was like, no, a fucking another former Yankee. But it wasn't, thank God. But, like, man, it has been fucking painful getting here. I'm not going to lie. I'm not trying to go back. Can't turn around. Sharks don't have necks. We just look forward. But, like, it has been a really tough month. I'm fucking glad August is over for the Yankees. Mm. And I can just only look forward to September. And, of course, this game would also be painful because we're just in the waning hours of August.
Well, how's your September schedule look? Is it rough? Is it...
That's a good question, John.
I only know offhand because, like, the Mets, literally all season, we've been told to look forward to September. We have a stretch of, like, 16 games. It's against... You know, the Nationals, the Marlins, the Pirates, all bad teams.
Okay, so we got a smattering going on here. We have Tampa Bay and the Twins and Tampa Bay all back-to-back.
Okay.
But fortunately, the majority of that run is at Yankee Stadium. Then we have two against Boston, then a series against the Brewers, which the Brewers are like, they're like the Twins, where it's like, yeah, they're... Well, the Brewers aren't in first place, so it's not even like the
not
Twins.
Not even, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, they're a playoff caliber team, but like...
Because they're in
the
Central.
They really stink.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I mean, now I know that the Yankees are going to drop 3 straight because I just said this in this episode, obviously. And then they play the Pirates for 2 at Yankee Stadium, which is good news, though.
Only 2? That's weird.
Though O'Neill Cruz.
Oh, one of those interleague, I guess... So also, see, they released the 2023 schedules now.
Yes.
And they're super weird because, you know, they're going to, we're playing everybody now. Everybody plays everybody. And so there's some, like, I don't know. It's kind of weird, like, because you know, obviously, how much I hate the Braves. But I'm almost on some level trying to appreciate that this is going to be one of the last seasons with, like, a true division race where it's like, you know, you play each other, what is it, 18 times or whatever?
19.
19, yeah, 19 times. And so, you know, you got games all spread throughout the season where it's going to matter. I look next season, it's like two home series and two away series against all of your divisional rivals. That's it.
I thought they played each other like 12 times or 13 times instead of 19.
Yeah, but it's only like four series over the course of a season for each of them. It's weird.
It is weird. And
it's
also
like two
like,
and two before and after the break.
And like, that's a lot of fucking travel for these guys. Like, I know, like, oh, they're millionaires. It's like, yeah, they are. Yeah. But that doesn't make well, I almost just said that doesn't make flying and stuff easier. But yes, it does. Like, you are flying in a fucking plane that's
built
almost for you.
One of the main things that it does, actually. You could argue.
Yeah, I'm like, what does money buy anyway? Comfort? I don't think so.
What good is money?
But oh, like, it's still, even the comforts of that travel doesn't make the travel like it. That's a fucking grueling schedule.
Sure.
These guys are gonna be flying all over the fucking place.
Right.
But it does make it easier.
It makes it easier, but I mean, you know, flying every day, even if it's in first class, is still flying every day, or you know, you know, twice a week or whatever.
That, thank you. That's the point I was trying to make, albeit
I got
poorly.
You. I got you.
Oh, my Mr. August is warming up in the bullpen. I'm not going to say who it is. I'm not going to give it away.
Yeah, we'll get to that at the end of the episode.
So speaking of old-timers like Pujols and A-Rod, this past weekend was old-timers day for the first one in like three decades at City Field.
I know it's been a rough stretch for the Yankees, but August has been kind to the Mets, even if you're looking off the field, and that's kind of what I'm going to focus on right now. Because, you know, the Mets are still in first place. We got this series against the Dodgers. You know, we know where the Mets are right now. Where the Mets are in a different sense, though, is what's really cool. Just like they're such, I don't know, everything just feels so legitimizing. And so Old Timers Day was the segue that you artfully provided and I started straying away from immediately. But so Old Timers Day was this past Saturday. I unfortunately had to work because, you know, weekend work schedule. So I didn't get to see it live. And earlier today, I was like, oh, shit, we're recording tonight. I haven't watched it yet. So I took a couple hours, set it aside, and I watched the Old Timers Day. And it was just incredible.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Good.
It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen from the Mets. And it's not close. You know what I mean? From, like, where to start? Okay, so, like, first of all, Andy Chavez is probably my all-time favorite Met. This was from before the catch. He was, you know, in high school, that lined up for me. He was just my favorite. John Franco was one of my favorites when I was a kid, just, you know, because his name was John. Didn't take much back then. Seeing Pedro back in the Mets uniform, just seeing these guys in the uniform again.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It was wild. We never got anything like that in the Wilpon era. You know, and then Doc and Keith and Ron is just like, you know, because Doc's had his struggles and stuff, to see him back like...
Yo, his cleats were fire. Did you
see
those things?
Yeah, weren't those awesome?
Yeah, he posted them on Twitter like the day or so before.
It was so cool, man. So it's both how well it was done, but also even just the fact that they're doing it, you know? And Buck Showalter said in some comments, he was doing an interview in and around it, and they were, you know, just praising the whole job that they did and everything. And Buck said, like, you notice not every team does this. Like, make no mistake, like, this costs a pretty penny. Like, this is expensive. And he even said, like, you know, he went to Steve Cohen.
And teams don't have the history also. They don't have enough people. It's like, people don't remember.
And that's the thing.
You can't just have a bunch of guys that you're like,
no,
who?
No. The Mets do have an interesting history. It just wasn't celebrated previously, you know? At least not to the extent that it should have. They would do the mandatory, like, all right, 50, you know, 30 years since the World Series. I guess you guys can come back.
Right.
But now it's, like, actively, put it this way, even to the point where, like, some of the older guys, like, I'd never even heard of them. And, you know, how we, like, introduced them, talking about contributions, like, the 69 team and, you know, from the 60s and 70s. It was just cool because, like, celebrating stuff that I knew, learning stuff about the Mets, it was just... Steve Cohen said that he bought the Mets. Right. He said that he bought the Mets. Oh, that was back to my point about Showalter. He said he went to go thank Steve Cohen. He said, and Cohen wouldn't even hear of it. Because as Cohen said, he bought the Mets. Think whatever you will of Steve Cohen. That's fine. He bought the Mets. He sees it as a public service. And it's about the fans. And we're finally seeing just like no strings attached. No like, you know, no weirdness. It's just purely just for the fans. And sparing no expense. Like it's so cool. It's such a great time to be a Mets fan right now. Like you feel so appreciated, you know.
And it is fun. Like the sound is going to sound way more condescending and patronizing than I intended to. So I don't intend it to sound like that at all. But like it's almost like when a parent sees it through like the eyes of a like how they say, like, oh, through the eyes of a child, like, they get to re-experience life. Like,
right.
As a Yankees fan, they've been doing this kind of shit forever to the point where it's, like, now kind of made fun of. Like,
they don't do it every year, but, like...
They do it every year.
Is it every single year?
Yeah. Old-timers Day is every season.
See, I feel like that would get old.
And they do get old.
Yeah, right?
Right. But that's the point, is that it's, like, the Yankees have constantly, like, celebrated their history, and that's always been a thing. So it seems like it's almost cheesy, but seeing it from, like... through a Mets fan's perspective, yeah. It's like different, even though it's now like the same. Like, oh, totally, thank God they're starting to do this stuff. And it's like, huh, maybe that is kind of cool. And I'll clown the Yankees for doing shit. But like, at the end of the day, it does maintain interest in the franchise. And it's a way to like grip fans.
And it's such like a no-brainer thing to do, you know. But again, it's the Steve Cohen effect. Because, you know, I mean, talking about the expenses, you know, those guys were all, I'm sure they took care of their transportation there, their lodging, right. Like all that stuff. They had like these replica rings printed up that everybody got, like just really nice little touches like that. And then, okay, not little touch, that wasn't a great segue, but then the biggest touch and just another sign that like it's different because this somehow wasn't leaked. Nobody knew this was coming. The Mets retired Willie Mays' number on Old Timers Day too. So 24 is officially, funnily enough, Robinson Cano will be the last Met to ever wear 24.
Yeah, I said that as it was happening. I was like, oh my God, Cano was the last one to wear this.
But yeah, Mays spent the last 2 or 3 years of his career in New York, and apparently Joan Payson, the Mets owner, had promised him that she would retire his number. She died before she was able to do that. The Wilpons, of course, didn't do it. So it was just honoring a long time thing of not just him as a Met, but even more so like what he meant to National League Baseball in New York City.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's how I took it. I mean, like...
100%. And it's one of those things where it's like Willie Mays is such an all-time great that the fact that he was on your team, like, yeah, you can retire his number, you know?
And also, like, as a Yankees fan, especially, like... Who the fuck am I to be like, oh, you're retiring there? Like, the Yankees have literally... and granted, like, the Yankees have had a lot of fucking world championship teams. Like, I get it. But there is still, like... Reggie Jackson was a Yankee for fucking 2 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, or a few years. Like, so it's like, there's been questionable number of retirements. All right, chill, bro. Chill, buddy.
Yeah, calm down.
We're reacting to the Mets.
What you're hearing is, yes, the Mets just lost... And Reed is very excited.
Yes Network.
And that was Emily switching over to the Yes Network. We're really getting a play-by-play here.
I know. Well, it's funny because now that like we're able to like chill and record, there's all these things that it's like, huh? Like how does this happen? Like I never. How do we change a channel?
How does recording work? So yes, let's regroup. The Mets may have just lost, but Old Timers Day was such a big win that we're going to keep talking about that. One thing that I thought was a really classy move, you notice David Wright was not there. And I think that was...
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize that.
He was invited and he declined. I think that was purposeful because, I mean, for one thing, this is speculation on my part, but I don't think he wants to be an old-timer yet. You know, he didn't stop playing on his terms. That's got to be tough, right?
Yeah, that's true. Like, he was just playing in, like, 2015, right. So, like...
But in a bigger sense, because it was... That's so recent... Recent, God, how old are we? Since it happened yesterday. No, but because it's so recent, there's an element of like, if David Wright were to come back and people saw him in a Mets uniform, it would have overshadowed everything else and everybody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's definitely...
David Wright is such possible. A big deal. He knows that he can do it next time, you know, whether it's in 5 years, 10 years, whatever, and it's going to be massive, even bigger than if he did it this year. You know, let the guy, you know, some of the guys from like the 62 team who like... Not to be morbid, you know, might not be around for the next one. You know, like, let them get their moment and David Wright will shine next time. I thought that was a classy move by him.
Though it's strange for him to not, like, say something. Like, to just straight up decline it is,
he
like...
He doesn't really need to. He's still in the organization. He has some special role that, like, I don't
mean,
know.
I guess for the... I don't know. I feel like it's strange, though, for him to not say anything at all. Just be like, nah, I'm good. And not be like, I'm not ready to be an old-timer yet.
I disagree because I feel like what I just said is, like, implied by him. Just kind of not even saying anything.
I think it is, too. I guess it's just strange that it's, like, usually they'll just say the implied thing most of the time.
No, that's fair. I guess so. But anyway, the overall point is just going back to it's the Cohen effect. It's just, it's different now. And
yeah, having an owner that Ray cares Knight, about fan experience.
But what's funny is Ray Knight said the quiet part out loud. And he literally, into a microphone, said, like, yeah, you know, he got dumped right after the 86 World Series. The Mets let him go. And he said, you know, quite frankly, I hadn't spoken to Jeff Wilpon in 30 years. He's like, I love the New York Mets. I don't like the Wilpons. It's like, oh, Ray Knight. Yes, Ray.
Ray. Okay, buddy.
Ray's
welcome.
One of us, man.
I mean, at this point, who wouldn't be? It's like none of those. There's got to be no former Met to have a good relationship with the former owners.
Right. Now,
especially because it's like, why would they?
The
they didn't
owners,
win shit.
Yeah, not really. No. But so that was a huge win for the Steve Cohen effect. And you got to take some wins with some losses, right? Because, like, put it this way, Timmy Trumpet. You know, narco fame with Blaster Jacks, who apparently we all found out today was Australian. Didn't know that.
It was pretty funny. His completely fucking on-field interview was hilarious.
So unfamiliar with baseball. He's talking about, like, them going onto the pitch and talking about the Mets supporters. And it was funny.
It was his first MLB game he's ever, a baseball game he's ever been to.
I don't know if he's been to North America before, to be honest.
That's fucking amazing.
It was crazy. I just tried to, like, if you reversed it, like, you know, we put out some song that got huge and some cricket team in, you know, in New Zealand started using it and just went over there and like, oh yeah, you know, something, something, wicket, something, something, end, inning, I don't know. It's got to be confusing and just like smile and nodding like, yeah, you know, I'm a Mets fan now. Yeah, what else would you be?
And I love that he was self-promoting. He had like the Trumpets t-shirt
yes,
on too.
Yes.
I loved it.
But point being, so it's one of those things where on the one hand, under the Wilpons, they never would have spent the money to get Timmy Trumpet here. To potentially play the trumpet for an Edwin Diaz entrance.
Right.
The flip side is the Mets lost 4-3. Diaz did not get to enter the game, so instead they just had Timmy Trumpet. It seemed like he might have been kind of like, I guess it's still lip syncing, right? Trumpet
yes.
syncing.
Trumpet
to,
syncing. I thought the same thing.
To the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah, and I mean, hopefully they only have him here for like a day. It's like, hopefully he's here for like the whole series. Maybe like... That seems like more
they
likely.
Really, I mean, the way they phrased it was really like, he's going to be here on Tuesday. And, you know, if Edwin Diaz, blah, 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 blah. It's like, baseball is such a weird sport, especially with a relief pitcher, to be like, yep, I'm going to come one game.
Right.
No like, pressure to put
hopefully.
Him in, though, you know?
Yeah, Timmy Trumpet is up there fucking grilling Buck like you're going
to
put him in.
Let's just use Diaz as a starter, just to guarantee it.
I thought that they were we were watching the game with no sound on and we saw Timmy Trumpet on screen and John was like, oh, are they putting Diaz in?
Oh, yeah.
And it seemed plausible because it was like a one run game, but then
right.
it was like only the seventh inning. So I was like, that
it's
would
only
be fucking
the seventh,
weird.
And in my head, I'm like, Buck has sometimes done the, oh, the heart of the order is coming
right.
up. I'm going to use Edwin now. It's like seven's a little early, but okay.
Yeah, okay.
And then my head was also like, hey, Timmy Trumpet's here. You're going to use Edwin, right? But it wasn't that at all. It was... Take me out to the ball game.
Yeah, which there's no way he just learned that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm sure he's a talented guy, but, like, was he like, yeah, I can do it. No sight music.
I don't
like,
know,
because no
he was really playing it pretty animatedly, like someone would if they were faking it for the cameras. And I should say,
you're
by
like,
all accounts,
at one point he had it pulled from his lips.
By all
lips.
Accounts, he's a very good, like, apparently he's, like, a classically trained trumpet player in Australia.
Right.
But I don't know if. I believe that he was playing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
No music, no sheet music, just like out there with fucking Mr. and Mrs. Met who were also playing the trumpet.
Well, they were definitely lip syncing. I'm going to put that on the table right now. Come at me.
Putting that up to their fucking gigantic baseball heads. I mean, shout out to SNY. Their production crew has been killing it. I mean, like... Leaving, no, not going to commercial break and shit, like showing his entrance
yeah.
and stuff, that has like made it what it is.
Now, can I have little first world problem type complaint though?
Yes.
So they've done some really cool shots where they like intersperse, you know, they'll have a close up on the pitcher, close up on the hitter.
Yes.
And then in the bottom, just like a long shot. Or they'll have, you know, close up of two faces and like a lot of cool blends and stuff. A lot of cinematography, I guess.
Yeah.
Cinematic stuff, let's call it. And I think it was you actually showed me the article about John something
like
or other, whatever
the
guy's
the
name was. Yeah, the producer, especially post-pandemic since they got the cameras back in the away games, he kind of has the freedom to do that. It was especially sick when it was like new and it was like really clutch moments. They're doing it a lot now.
Yeah, now it's too much.
You know, they're doing it in like some less important matchups and just like because it's like the end of an inning doing the showdown kind of thing. And it's like... It's very cool, and other teams aren't doing it, but save it. Like, use
right.
it for max effect. You know?
Yeah, I agree. Like, it was kind of funny, and this was arguably a pretty big moment. It was one of Canna's many home runs. They showed his face and, like, the home run apple. And, like, that's cool, but, like, the apple, like, that's going to share screen time with this guy who just hit the home run?
Yeah, show me the pitcher's despair.
Yeah, exactly.
As he rounds
show
the bases.
Me how upset the pitcher is. Speaking of the Dodgers, since you guys were just playing them.
Can we not, though?
Yeah, I know. Fine. Maybe I should have only said this.
Fine.
Don't worry. You're going to like this. You're going to like this. I promise.
All right. All right.
Josh Reddick, former Dodger and also former Astro. He was on the 2017 World Championship winning Astros.
Get good fast.
He recently online. So, like, you know how Astros fans or whatever, or Dodgers fans rather, are always bringing up, like, cheating, like, to Astros fans. That's, like,
yes.
a thing that's...
Right.
Because they lost in the World, Series
World Series
that year.
Right, right.
Josh Reddick then responded to... And now this one... It wasn't even like it was some, like, oh, a Houston reporter or, like, someone... It was, like, Dodgers at Dodgers on top 22 or something. Like, an anonymous account. So he responds, like, oh, yeah, like, the Dodgers cheated, too, or something. Like, basically said that the Dodgers
right,
cheated.
Right.
And the guy's like, oh, yeah, like, let me see some proof. And he's like, I was on the team. Like, that's the proof. And, like, is this sort of thing good for the game? Like, no. And I'm not saying that the Astros should be the only cheaters. I feel like most... normal fans are aware of the fact that, like, cheating is going on in the game,
yes.
widespread
to whatever
in some
extent
degree.
They can get away with,
right?
Yeah,
Tatis with the PED. You have some guys that take PEDs. You have some teams that are trying to steal signs. It's like, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. As part of the game,
trying to get every edge you can.
With that being said, are former players getting into arguments online with shitposting anonymous accounts where they accuse franchises of cheating? Is that good for the game?
It's not a great look.
Right? Like, it's like, dude, listen, I argue with anonymous accounts all the time, so I'm not saying that they should be above it. But, like, that's where you're going to do it against Dodgers on top 25 or whatever the account, some fucking teenager who's using Cody Bellinger's picture.
I know, I'm torn because, yeah, exactly. I'm torn, though, because, like, yeah, maybe it's not good for the game per se, but there is an element of, like, reality check, though, because a lot of these fans live in a fucking fantasy world.
That's a good point. That
is
a good point.
So there is something. You know what I get brought back to? I fucking love, and I can talk about Kevin Durant again safely now that he's going to be on the Nets. But the way KD handles his social media, like, sometimes, like, you could call him a bitch. Maybe sometimes he is a bitch. But, like, when it comes down to it, he had some interaction with the guy, and the guy was like, you know, why are you even, like, interacting with me? Like, you should be above this. And KD's just like, no, I'm just, like, some random guy that happened to be blessed with really good basketball talent.
It's
like,
true.
I'm just a guy talking to another guy online and arguing with you. Like, this pedestal we put athletes on, you should be above it. And maybe there is an element of, like, is it good for the game? No. But you know what's also not good for the game? The MLB. So, like, why not just, hey, reality check?
It is true. You know, because – that just perfectly brought me to, like, my point that I had, like, thinking about all this for the last few days is that, like – this is an MLB-created problem.
100%.
So, like, it's not Josh. Like, do I think Josh Reddick is a fucking tool? Yeah, I do. And his wife is kind of a tool, too. Jet Reddick.
Jet Reddick?
Yes. It's kind of a cool name, not going to lie. She's kind of a tool. She's Tammy Wynette standing by her man. I shouldn't call her a tool. She's got people coming at her man, so she's defending him. But I digress. It's not his job to, like, make the game look good.
No.
I get why it's like his one, especially like the title that he won in his career. Now, like, he's in conversation because he just played for the fucking Savannah Bananas.
Savannah Bananas. Say that five times fast.
I literally couldn't say it once, but so he just played for them. So that's the point of his career that he's at. You know? So, like, he's clearly got one fucking toe in the door still.
Correct.
It's not his job to, like, maintain MLB's own created problem. Like, you know, it's uncouth to talk about this. Like, that is an unfair sort of thing to put on him, where it's like, sure, yeah, say it to this fucking guy.
There is an element of that, like, you know, and this happens other stuff too, like, you know, we the little people, we're not supposed to talk about this stuff. Like, it's impolite. Like, you know, you don't bring that up. We don't discuss salaries here. Like, you know, like, that kind of thing.
That is true. And, like, to be fair, like, players reacted to it at first when that scandal first broke in early 2020, but, like, if it were just, like, an Astros thing that nobody else were doing on any level, the other players would fucking hate these guys a lot more than they do. And they don't hate these guys. They may not like some of them,
right,
but that existed before this scandal. Players not liking each other for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been like, oh, yeah, now, yeah, this is why I don't like him, even though I never fucking liked that guy.
It's true. That is very true.
Speaking of not liking guys, Zach Hampel, fucking ball hawk. He's back in the news because he posted some whiny-ass video where he was told by an usher at Coors Field that he has to stay in his seat. And he was like, this is not a good fan experience. This is just not right to do. And I'll stay in my seat when other people stay in their seat. And it's like, bro, how many fucking baseballs does he need?
It's sad. And
how many?
The sadder part is, like, I didn't realize how old that guy is at first because he has a weird misshapen baby face that's stretched out kind of weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got that thing going on. Dude's in his 40s.
Yeah. Like, and listen, I'm like, all about staying young. Like, we do this. Like, baseball's great. It's
not at the expense of actual children, though.
That's the thing. You know? And, like, I've had people being like, oh, you're jealous because he goes to every game, every stadium. Like, that's a cool thing to do. But, like, I'm not, like, I'm a grown-ass woman. I'm not actively jealous of fucking Zach Hampel going from stadium to stadium, running around, fucking diving over seats to get balls.
But what's so weird is how...
That's what he has to do in order to maintain that life.
It never fades for him. You know what I mean? Like, because I haven't gotten my first major league foul ball yet. So
this,
like,
guy's got fucking 50,000.
That's on the list. And it's one of those things where, like, it's going to happen to me one day where I'm going, you know... My luck, I'm going to be like in my 50s or something. I'm
going to
be at this Mets
it.
Game. Well, no, I mean, I hope it would be great if I was in Zach Campbell's section because
right
I can just punch him in the face. But that's neither here nor there. I would, knowing my luck, find myself in the situation of being an older gentleman and then, like, you know, being in a section where there's some, like, you know, kids with their parents and stuff. And I get my first foul ball, my first home run. And then the pressure's on, like, you're going to give it to the kid, right? Like, nah, fuck them kids. This is my first one. This is mine.
Well, I'm firmly of, like, a... If you catch it on, like, a fly, especially.
Even if, you know, yes, especially if you catch it clean.
Yeah, like, I'm
but
not.
But even if it's, like, one of those, like, you know,
chase after it,
empty sections and you chase after it, you know, finders keepers. I dig all that.
That's true.
But, you know, Hampel just takes it to a gross extent.
And, like, now it's like, well, now he's not going to stop because this is how he puts food on his table. So I get it. It's how he's making money. More power to you, I guess. I would love to be making money in the baseball world as well.
More
so, like, far be it from
reason,
me.
Though.
Right. Like, dude, how many... Like, I remember years ago, this has to be at least 4 or 5 years ago, seeing pictures of this motherfucker, because he was in, like, a Sports Illustrated article or something, in, like, a bathtub full of baseballs. I mean, he was fully clothed, but it was
Thank
just like...
Thank God.
That was... Yeah, I'm like, it's the same issue of details that A-Rod was kissing the picture of himself in the mirror. But, like, that was years ago, and this guy's been doing this every year since then.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sure all of my questions could be answered on his YouTube page, but I feel like out of fucking...
But that would require going to his YouTube page, so no.
Yes, like, just out of principle, at this point, I cannot do that. So, if anyone listening watches his YouTube page... I have a few questions. What is he doing with all these baseballs? And I know he says he gives them to kids, but, like, why would I want a ball from fucking Zach Hampel?
If he's giving them to kids, then just let the kids fucking get them at the game.
Right.
That's the coolest part. Why do they need the middleman? You're not necessary in this equation.
No, actually, that's the best part of getting the ball. Like, what is a kid going to do? Like, oh, this is a game-used ball from Zach Hampel.
And there's
Hampel.
Even an element of, like, if you're, you know, the adult that gets the ball, it's like, oh, give it to the kid. It's like, especially if you caught it, especially if you catch it clean, it's like... All right, I guess. Like, I don't know.
Hampel's like, no, actually, I'm going to give this to a kid in front of other cameras at an event.
Well, and that's the thing. It's just like he doubles down and he's such a tool and he just comes off like just a dork in the worst possible way. Just a dork. So I think we can agree, Zach Hampel, real bozo. We will not, however, give him enough credit as to be one of our August bozos.
No, no.
Not even going to dignify him with that.
Even though, I mean, I feel like...
He'd be a home run of a choice, though. And then
oh
he would steal the
God.
Ball.
But my August bozo, now, Hampel is a good one, but I feel like he's, what, Judge? Oh, my God, Judge just hit his 51st home run as we're recording this. Now, Judge isn't my Mr. August, though I did discuss with John how I wanted him to be, but I feel like he's been my Mr. of the Month for the entire season.
Okay, so the analogy that comes to mind, you guys know I'm a bass player. Bass Player magazine, I don't know when they started, probably like the 80s or 90s, maybe earlier, they would always do a bass player of the year. You know, they would feature guys in all the different months and, you know, best bass player. So this guy, Victor Wooten, comes along in the early 90s, I believe, and he wins bass player of the year. And then he wins bass player of the year again. and again and again. And after like four or five times of winning base player of the year, they just had to release a statement like, okay, listen, can we recognize that Victor Wooten is the greatest base player alive right now and continue to give out the award and recognize other up-and-coming talents? So I would phrase it like that. Yes, obviously it's Judge, duh, but let's keep it interesting.
Yeah, basically what I'm saying is that, yes, Judge is Mr. 2022, right. But now we're going to break it down by month. So my Mr. August is a relief pitcher who just made his major league debut for the Yankees this past week, Greg Weissert. And he is being awarded this distinction because he is from Bayshore, New York, which is literally the next town over to where I grew up. And that is pretty cool because the Northeast and Long Island especially doesn't really get that many major leaguers.
Definitely not a hotspot for
it. No. Like, you may get a few that are drafted or whatever. They go to the minors. But to make it to the show doesn't happen very often around here. So it was pretty awesome. I mean, his first start was, or not a start, his first appearance, rather, was not good. He walked two. He hit two guys. He gave up, like, three runs. He was only in there for an out. But he got his shit together, and he made a good appearance next time around. So, Greg Weissert, welcome to the show, and thanks for making the Bayshore Isle area proud.
My Mr. August is not local, unfortunately, but I'm glad that he's here. It's Mark Canna. So Mark Canna has just been playing out of his mind in the month of August. Over his last seven games, he's hitting .375. Over his last 15 games, still .370. Of the last month, he's hitting .315, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, he's...
with a bunch of homers.
Exactly, yeah. His OPS is pretty damn close to 1,000. He's got a... you know, it feels like more. It's been only four home runs in the last 30 games, but they've all come in significant situations, and yeah.
Two of them versus the Phillies, right? And like to tie it and then to like
so.
Go ahead.
Two in the same game. Yeah, sick. Yeah, it was wild. So yeah, so Mark Canna, just he actually hit his career 100th home run today. Unfortunately, the Mets did lose, but he stayed hot. And if he can keep it going while, you know, Pete's not really hot right now, Francisco Lindor has been a little slow lately. So Canna has been helping the Mets stay above water, keep pace with the Braves, and a well-earned Mr. August for Mark Canna.
Now, August Bozo, and this one I do with a heavy heart, in that I feel bad, but I feel like I would be lying to myself if I picked anybody else. Frankie Montas.
Nah.
He had a good start. He had his best start against the Mets. His last start, he was they kind of held it down for him. He gave a few runs, but he has not been very good as a Yankee. I mean, he has 25.2 innings pitched, and he's given up 20 earned runs in 25.2 innings. I mean, that's not very good.
No, it's not very good, Em.
And he's just, his K percentage is way down. Like, he only has 20 strikeouts in that same amount of time, so less than a strikeout per inning. And we're going to have to get Max on here. If his struggles continue, we'll have to get Max on to talk about what's going on with him and what the Yankees are doing or not doing. I don't know if it's a philosophical issue where the Yankees are trying to get him to throw pitches that don't work for him or what, but it's been tough to watch, especially because I was so excited that the Yankees got him because it was like, this is a deadline move
I
that
remember,
they did.
Yeah.
And it's not Luis Castillo. I mean, not that I expected him to be, but man, it stings even more now.
And you'll notice I didn't have a ton to add to that, so you just got the Keith Hernandez,
Oh, man. When Judge hit a fucking 450-foot home run against the Jesus. Mets, Keith, the Gary's call was great. You know, the, oh, forget that. But Keith was just like, wow.
Yeah, just wow.
Said it twice. Yeah, Owen Wilson, wow.
Wow. yeah, I mean, that's the reason we actually didn't record last week was I just was so devastated by those two random games against the Yankees.
You should have been.
I could not drag myself over here. No, I was camping. But on a serious note, my August Bozo, it's got to be Josh Hader.
Oof.
Right? Like, we all thought when that trade happened, we thought, Brewers, what the hell are you doing? You know, one of the league's best
closers. Crazy.
They must have known something, man, because Josh Hader has just been dog shit since he got traded.
Dog shit.
Check out these numbers. So with Milwaukee this year, and he wasn't even having an amazing season with Milwaukee, but the difference is insane. He had a 4.24 ERA with a 1.12 whip, over 34 innings pitched, 29 saves, giving up 16 earned runs, 59 strikeouts. Not bad.
Not bad.
Since coming to San Diego, and this is over the course of 4.2 innings, he has a 23.14 ERA.
Oh, my God.
A whip over four. Ooh. He's given up 12 earned runs in those 4.2 innings and no saves.
Wow.
The bottom has fallen out. Like,
that's
this
horrible.
Is just this how this has got to be rock bottom, right?
Like
you either get better or you get out of the league at this point.
Yeah, like, he has to have, like, a torn fucking UCL or something. Like, he has to be severely injured, but,
it's
like, how
be.
Have they not figured that out yet?
It's such a precipitous, because I remember facing him, you know, National League, being on the Brewers, faced him a few times a year. Just electric. The guy's arm was unbelievable. And just...
he was, like, almost inarguably the best reliever of the in the whole league for, like, a few years running,
yeah.
I feel like.
100%.
Wow.
So just a really unexpected fall from grace. And, he deserves it. August Bozo, Josh Hader, get your shit together, bro.
And I feel like the takeaway from this is that we got to get Max on the show, because it's like, what the fuck is going on with Hader?
Yeah,
like,
what happened to Montas? What happened to Hader?
Max, we need you to go over these bozos and find out what's happening.
Of course, I think that Max's fall season just started, so there's no way he's going to have time for us.
We'll try to get him anyway.
We'll try to get him anyway.
That about wraps it up for Breaking Balls this week. We want to thank all of our listeners. You guys are amazing. And our callers, we'll get you guys back next episode.
What's your favorite planet? Mine's the sun.
I like it because it's like the king of planets. You can find us on Twitter at BreakBallsPod. Or if you're feeling brassy, give the Breaking Balls hotline a call. 631-820-7377. We also want to thank our amazing producer and engineer, DJ Bingington. You can find him on Twitter as well, @DJ Bingington. And we will catch you guys next week.